Now, we're going to hear more about our Lord in non-Palestinian environs. It says here in the text that going out from the region of Tyre, he went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. So he's at Tyre. He goes north along the coast to Sidon. And then he turns east and goes to the middle of the Decapolis region, which means he goes to the other side that borders Israel. He's not in Israel. He's not in Palestine. You know, he's still he's healed this Syro-Phoenician woman's daughter, and now he's in another part of the world, which is predominantly again pagan. There are Jews there, but this is a predominantly pagan environment. He's gone then from one to the other. Very interesting. He cares about every human being. And so, they brought to him a man deaf and, translation, unable to speak, mogilalon. Well, that word mogilalon only comes one other time in the Bible. In Greek, the translation of Isaiah 35:6, is saying, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. This is Isaiah 35, and he's promising, you see, this restoration, this healing of the land and of the people. The ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. And the word there for dumb is mogilalon, the same word. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, how many people would pick that up in their day? I don't know. But enough. And certainly, as these stories were being told and these words were being shared, at every liturgy, by the time these texts were written, there were Christians in all of Palestine, in many areas of the world, and in Rome. And so, those who knew the Old Testament in Greek would say, that word, that's the promise fulfilled from Isaiah. And that's what they're saying here, you see. So he goes, he arrives at Sidon, and then from there, through the Thalasson, the Sea of Galilee, to the middle of the Decapolis region. And they brought him a kophon, a deaf man, who was mogilalon, couldn't speak well, difficult, unable to really speak. And they earnestly asked that he put his hand on him. Now this is, you see, the Gentile, the pagan in the north, had her daughter freed from demonic influence. Here, this man is finally able to speak and has something to say. Jesus Christ healed me. And so, they brought to my man deaf and unable to speak. That's the translation that is mogilalon, speaking with difficulty, sort of. And they earnestly asked that he put his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, he was deaf, and spitting, and then he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned. These healings sometimes cost Jesus a lot. In chapter 12 of Matthew, he sums up a whole series, a session of healings, by saying, he quotes the text from Isaiah, he carried our infirmities from the servant song. They cost him. And so, says here, he groaned and said to him, Ephata, that is, be opened. And immediately, that's a typical Markan word. Some of the texts wonder if it's there. But Ephdeus, you see, immediately his ears were opened. And straight away, he began to speak. And he started to speak correctly. And he ordered them that they speak to no one, but as much as he would order them, all the more they would preach. And they were amazed beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He made the deaf hear and the speechless to speak." He's done everything well. Now remember, these are, besides healings, they're prophecies. "This is what I'll do for you. If you come to me with an open heart, now, you know, in the 21st century, if you'll come to me with an open heart, I can open the ears of your heart and mind so that you really hear the gospel. You really know what it's about. And then you'll have something to say." So it's not just for this good man back here. It's for us as well. And, of course, the healing, the physical healings, are already, see, a symbol of what the Lord is doing. And I think I mentioned this before. It has happened to some of us, it's happened to me, that when we're preaching, somebody's healed of deafness. That's God's audiovisual aid. I can open up your heart the way I opened up this woman's ears, but you'll have to let me do it. You'll have to let me. I can heal your ears without you knowing much about it, but I can't heal your heart unless you let me in, unless you'll agree, unless you'll accept my invitation to turn from sin. And it'll be a strong invitation, and it'll be an encouraging invitation. It won't be a threat. Come, let me forgive your sins. Start to be a disciple, and don't look back. And so, that's the second of these healings of the Gentile. The first was over in Tyre, and the second is over here in Sidon. I'm sorry, in Sidon up here, but then it's over in the Decapolis that he heals this other person. Well, these are, for us as well, audio-visual aids. This is a promise. If we need healing of heart or mind or body or spirit or whatever, the Lord will give it to us. Just ask. But be willing to hear back. Your biggest problem isn't your ears, it's your heart. I want you to give me your heart. I want you to learn how to obey me. Hear me with the ears of your heart. See me with the eyes of your heart. As Paul says in Ephesians, I want the eyes of your heart to be opened so that you can see, spiritually know what's going on. That's a healing. And it's granted to us. So these two texts, these two healings, set the stage for the next thing, which will be the multiplication of the loaves. After being there in the Decapolis, which is just northeast, he comes down and goes over to, as we'll hear next time, and he goes over there, and he's opposite Capernaum on the other side of the lake, and they're streaming toward him. And the disciples are saying, "Jesus, you know, look, I know you like to help these people, but, you know, we don't have any money to feed these people. How are we going to feed them all? There's thousands of them out there." And in Mark, particularly, he says, "Feed them yourself." He said, "Feed them ourselves? You know, we can hardly feed our families. How are we going to do this?" And he just says, "Tell them to sit down." So they tell them to sit down. They don't know what he's going to do. But it's so beautiful and so he was the way chapter 8 begins abruptly. "In those days, again, there was a great crowd and they didn't have anything to eat. So calling the disciples, he said, Splunk needs on me. As I've told you before, Splunk, my innards, my guts, I feel for the crowd because they've been with me through 3 days, staying with me, and they don't have anything to eat. And if I send them away fasting like this, some might faint on the way. And the disciples say, where are we going to get anything out here? You see, they're practical guys, and it takes them a long time to catch on. You see, how are we going to get anything out here? And he says, have them all sit down. And they have them all come down. And then, as we're going to, all we're going to do next time, is this multiplication of the loaves. Now, that is starting to get very close to home. By that gesture of multiplying food, of multiplying bread, he's prophesying how he's going to take care of his church until the end of time. I'm going to feed them on bread, and that bread is my teaching and my own body. And I'm going to feed them until the end of time. And so, this is a prophecy of that. And he does it twice in the synoptics, except Luke, to tell us, I am going to take care of you. I will feed you. I will give you strength. I will give you light. And the bread that I will ultimately give you is my body for the life of the world, is my flesh for the life of the world. And this is a prophecy. Now, the whole theology of it, you know, is developed in John. But the notion is already here, you see. It's very beautiful. So we've seen now these two miracles. What do they mean to us? You know, now, the Vatican Council tells us, when the Gospels are read at the liturgy, at the Mass, it is still Christ, not the priest, not the deacon. It is Christ proclaiming his Gospel. Well, Christ's Gospel through the mouth of the deacon or the priest is still power to heal, to encourage, to convert. Listen with your whole heart and with both ears. Listen. And as I say, many of us have had the experience of having the Lord heal deafness during the preaching as his kindness, as an audio-visual aid. You see what I just said for that person? I can open your heart that way. Just give me your heart. Let me turn your life over to me. Let me guide and protect you. Let me teach you and encourage you. Let me console you and give you courage. Listen to my words. And so here we have this healing of this man who spoke poorly, you see. And then he goes over to the other place, and there's this, you know, the Mogilalon man, and Jesus heals him. Now he's got something to talk about. Jesus put his hands on me. And he healed me. He looked up to heaven and he groaned. And then he said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And my ears were opened, my tongue was loosed, I hear well, I speak well, and I have something to listen to and something to speak about now. Amen.